listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back, joined by Fred Flights, our colleague at the Center for Security Policy, one of the country's preeminent experts on proliferation issues, and much more. You will find him frequently on the pages of places like Newsmax and FoxNews.com, National Review. You can also see him frequently on all of the right television programs, and we're very pleased to feature him here at Secure Freedom Radio each week as well. Fred is the author of a brand new book. It's officially released tomorrow. We're getting a sneak preview of it with him. It's entitled The Coming North Korea Nuclear Nightmare: What Trump Must Do to Reverse Obama's Strategic Patience. And we've been talking a bit about what that strategic patience entailed on the part of the Obama administration and the real contribution, I think there's no question about it, it made to emboldening the North Koreans as they pursued increasing capabilities clearly designed to threaten this country. And Fred, in that regard, I wanted very quickly to ask you about two threats that were in the mix here, one having to do with nuclear capabilities, the other an adjunct to them. Let's start with electromagnetic pulse. Remind us what that is and what you think the North Koreans have in that domain that could be used to cause incredible damage to this country.
Well, electromagnetic pulse is a form of energy released by a nuclear explosion, and it's also released naturally by the sun. Nuclear devices release this energy. It doesn't harm human beings, but it destroys electronics, and it could destroy the entire U.S. electric grid if a nuclear device was detonated at the proper altitude above the United States. Now, many experts have been warning for years, and you're among them. Former CIA Director Jim Woolsey, Dr. Peter Pry, former CIA analyst, have been warning for years about the growing threat that North Korea is developing EMP weapons, which is really a logical step for the nuclear program because it's a way to leverage these weapons to do huge amounts of damage with a small nuclear arsenal. The evidence was very strong during the Obama years that the North Koreans are doing this, and the Obama administration did absolutely nothing about it. And then what happened? Last September, after North Korea tested its alleged H-bomb, Kim Jong-un issued a statement saying that this bomb could be used as a super EMP attack to use against the United States. People have been warning about this for years. Nothing was done about it during the Obama years.
Fred, so this EMP threat has metastasized, as has something else, cyber warfare. This is a nation, North Korea, that is often regarded as so backward, so poor, that it can't even feed its own people. It sounds incredible that it could threaten us in ways that it is doing now. But one area in which they have developed considerable capability, apparently, and my guess is with help from their Chinese sponsors, is the threat now posed by cyber attack. Talk a little bit about what we know in that regard.
Well, you know, most Americans find it surprising that North Korea would have a cyber warfare capability, but the North Korean military has invested a significant amount of money in placing North Korean hackers in foreign countries, in China and in Southeast Asian countries, to conduct cyber warfare on behalf of North Korea. And there were some major attacks during the Obama years. There were attacks against South Korean banks. There was a Sony Picture attack in 2014, and there was actually theft of millions of dollars from foreign banks around the world during the Obama years. North Korean hackers stole military secrets from South Korean computers in 2015, and again, nothing was done. So, I mean, this is just another example where the Obama administration was just out to lunch concerning North Korea while it was in office.
Yeah, and again, putting American equities, if not actually lives, certainly equities, very much at risk. So, Fred, this is a moment when I think it's important to reflect on what the Obama administration was doing instead of trying to come to grips with the North Korean threats, namely, as you mentioned, giving priority to fashioning a deal with Iran. In addition to the observation we've already discussed that these two countries are joined at the hips, what was the effect, as you see it, of having a deal like the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, as it's called, the JCPOA, negotiated and agreed between the United States and other countries and Iran on that North Korean perception of what they could do and get away with?
I think the Iran deal conveyed to the world appeasement, American appeasement of Iran. And the North Koreans understood that. The North Koreans had worked very closely with Iran on its missile program, and I think almost certainly its nuclear program for many years. I suspect Iran was outsourcing nuclear research, and this increased after the nuclear deal was announced, to North Korea. And I think this affected the way North Korea dealt with the United States. I suspect its belligerent behavior was to try to push the Obama administration to make some kind of a deal. You know, who knows what the North Koreans were thinking? You know, Obama would have met with Kim Jong-un in a minute, but Kim wouldn't meet with him. And I think he was intent on developing his nuclear missile weapons during a weak U.S. administration.
Yeah, well, he was calculating correctly that he would get away with it. Fred, there have been, of course, those who would say, well, this is unfair. President Obama did undertake to impose sanctions on the North Korean regime during his time in office. Tell us a little bit of what that actually involved and why it didn't seem to have much of an impact on the North.
There were plenty of UN sanctions and U.S. sanctions, but they just weren't enforced. It was what we saw during the Clinton administration. They liked to pass paper at the United Nations that was just meaningless. And this is sort of epitomized, and President Trump made a big deal out of this. The sanctions were so weak and so poorly enforced that North Korea's trade with China increased by 37% in the first quarter of 2017 because nothing was being done. After all these nuclear tests during the Obama years, the significant increase in its missile program, we weren't pressing China. We weren't pressing other states to enforce these sanctions, and basically China and North Korea ignored them.
Yeah. Now, of course, the first quarter of 2017 would have been into the Trump administration in part. But what we're going to talk about, Fred Flights, in our next block with you is both the very significant differences in the Trump administration's approach to North Korea, notably with respect to sanctions, but not exclusively, this so-called maximum pressure campaign that the president has been implementing. And we're also going to talk about what has now emerged in the past few weeks in terms of new challenges from the North Koreans, new ways in which they are, it appears, trying to buy time to presumably continue building this threat, and what that will entail for diplomacy, for the Trump administration's policies of the sanctions regime, as well as, of course, this buildup of military capabilities, if they are regrettably going to be needed to dismantle the threats that we're now confronting, chartered and described so well in your new book, The Coming North Korea Nuclear Nightmare, What Trump Must Do to Reverse Obama's Strategic Patience. You can download this important new book for free at securefreedom.org or get it as an Amazon or Kindle book. I encourage you to do so. Fred Flights will be back with more in our continuing conversation with its author right after this.